Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Yesterday, an estimated 10,000 people, mostly young students, packed the Rutgers Athletic Center in New Jersey to hear Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders talk about what he calls the political revolution. Despite his narrow path to victory, Senator Sanders says he's going all the way to the end of the Democratic primary. He believes the people should be heard. He'll actually be in Sacramento tonight at 5 o'clock. But apart from electoral victory or defeat, his progressive platform on taking on income inequality, climate change, changing the political status quo, and ending the influence of big money in politics has resonated with tens of millions of voters and progressive movements across the country. When he launched his bid for the White House last year, he said, quote, "We need a political revolution in this country involving millions of people who are prepared to stand up and say enough is enough, and I want to lead that," end quote. But what if he doesn't get the nomination? What will happen to the popular movement that has coalesced around his progressive agenda for free tuition at public universities, expanding Social Security, raising the minimum wage to $15, universal child care, a youth jobs program fighting climate change, and so many other measures to reduce income inequality and the widening wealth gap? And more significantly, how has his campaign changed the relationship between social movements and electoral politics? To discuss these issues on today's Your Call, we are joined by two guests. Kate Aronoff is a Brooklyn-based freelance writer and communications coordinator for the New Economy Coalition. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Kathleen Geyer is an independent journalist who has written for The Washington Monthly, The Nation, and The Baffler. Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. So this has been such an amazing election year. At this time last year, most in the media dismissed Bernie Sanders. And if they did cover him, they were sure to note that he is a 74-year-old self-described Democratic socialist. He had no party backing, no big funders. So many of my progressive friends said there's no way this guy is going to gain traction. And here we are a year later. He's raised over $200 million. The Democratic machine opposes him. And yet he's winning, especially in states where independents are allowed to vote. So, Kathleen, first of all, what is your initial reaction to this candidacy and what this movement has been able to accomplish?
I am absolutely thrilled at Bernie's candidacy, at the issues he's brought to the table, that he's shown that there is widespread popularity for the issues he's supporting, and I think he's done a great thing in helping to put these issues on the table and gain support and hopefully starting a political revolution.
Kathleen, you write about progressive issues. Did you think that he would come this far when you heard he was running last year?
No, I never did. I thought he would be a good protest candidate. I didn't think he would gain the popularity, that the movement would be this strong. But I think it just shows that this economy is not working for a lot of people. There's a frustration with the politics of incrementalism and neoliberalism, which we've had for the last 40 years, and it's really time to try something new. And that's what Bernie represents.
And Kate, what about you? What do you make of what this movement has been able to accomplish so far?
Well, I think it's a really impressive the way Bernie Sanders has really done two things. I think one is sort of tapping into this real hunger people have to really channel a lot of really justified anger at the status quo and the political establishment. And I think that combined with really sort of concerted organizing on the part both of people within the Sanders campaign and also movements, which have really shown how much power they can wield over the last several years. I mean, several of Sanders' own platform points, which are so sort of wide ranging, come directly from movements. And so I really think that that's one of the real strengths of this campaign has been the ability to really translate that into the electoral realm. And I think, you know, as far as the next steps are concerned, I'm really excited about you know, where social movements and their leaders take this energy, and that's always been what I've been most excited about, is just how this creates sort of a new terrain for these movements to really operate on.
And Kathleen, what are your thoughts on Bernie Sanders' decision to stay until the very end? We don't know what's going to happen, but if you look at the math, especially when you include the superdelegates, clinching the nomination at this point is slim to none. He says that it's going to be a tough road, but he wants the voters to be heard. And for the first time, California, we actually feel like we matter in a primary. And just a reminder, if you need to re-register or check your registration, please be sure to do it by May 23rd. If you're going to vote for a Democrat, you have to either be no party preference or Democrat. And if you're going to vote in the San Francisco race, you've got to be a Democrat. You've got to check your registration by May 23rd. Do not wait until the last minute, because I'm afraid the system is just, it's not going to be able to handle all. We have so many people in this state. So please do it as soon as possible. And the primary is on June 7th. So what do you think about that, Kathleen, Bernie's decision to go all the way and say that, you know what, people, for example, in California deserve to be heard?
I agree with that 100%. I think, you know, and I actually said this in 2008 when people were criticizing Hillary Clinton for remaining in the race. I didn't support her, but I thought she had the right to remain in the race. She had a strong showing. She had a lot of supporters. The same is true with Bernie, and even more so because of the movement he represents. It's important that his issues remain on the, you know, front and center out there. And also that he's encouraging people to participate in the political process, which I think is a wonderful thing, particularly for Democrats worried about down ballot races and things like that. I mean, I think he's absolutely right to continue. And it's also great that people in California, in my home state of New Jersey, you know, actually have, you know, for once they have a vote that means something, which it usually doesn't, which I know is very frustrating.
Right. Yeah, it's very frustrating. What about this movement that has been created? Because I think there are several layers to this. I mean, on one hand, you have people who are very active, proudly call themselves activists. But I always love to find the people who are brand new to politics. So over the past couple of months, I've interviewed, you know, a 22-year-old who has a child. She works the night shift. She's going to school. And yet she has found time to have phone banking parties because she believes in the message. And then my cousin, who's apolitical, she's 47. She's voted once in her life, is volunteering for Bernie Sanders' campaign and is giving some money, like $27, to his campaign. First time ever, she never has considered herself an activist and doesn't follow politics at all. But there was something about his message that resonated with her. Can you talk about that?
I think he has a very inspiring message. He has a vision, which is so lacking in politics these days. I think that people, you know, we've had, as I said, we've had 40 years of incrementalism, of these small tweaks, but like little recognition that the systemic problems are so huge and so deep. And I think he speaks to that, and he gives people these big simple ideas that are so important, like single payer healthcare, like universal free college. And things like that, which we just haven't heard before, but there's such a longing for that. And I think he's really touched on that. And I give him a lot of credit for taking the leadership and inspiring people in the way he has.
And Kate, what would you add to that? What do you think it is about his message that has resonated with so many people?
Well, I think a lot of his message really comes directly from social movements, as I said before. And I think, you know, social movements have been one of the most hopeful sources of politics over the last 5 years, as sort of the political establishment has become more entrenched after Citizens United. And so I personally am a fan of Bernie Sanders, but I think in terms of why this message is resonating, it's really a testament to the strengths of movements like Occupy, like the movement for Black Lives, like the immigrant rights movement, and really giving this a new stage. And I think that process can really continue after the fact. And again, there's a real hunger for this. There's a real hunger for people to just say it sort of like it is. And we're seeing that on both sides of the aisle, of course. But I think with Sanders, there's a real deep egalitarianism to it that comes from sort of a history of being aligned with movements and being on the people's side.
And Kate, you've written about this. You've interviewed activists. During the Occupy movement, Occupy activists said they did not want to engage with electoral politics. They wanted to stay active as oppositional forces and put pressure from the outside. How do you think this movement, the Bernie Sanders movement, has changed the relationship between Occupy, for example, and electoral politics? Many people involved in the Occupy movement are also working with the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Right. And it's been pretty amazing to see that. And I think this campaign has prompted a much more nuanced relationship between social movements and electoral politics. And I think that's happened in a couple ways, in part because he's winning, and people like to win. And unfortunately, our movements don't have a great history of doing that, though there have been significant victories that I think social movements can claim over the last several years. It's really exciting to see something with so much momentum and so much sort of weight behind it, and that people are really paying attention to. You know, there are people like my friends in sort of student organizing circles who have been around progressive politics for a while who are excited about this, but there are also people like my dad, who was registered as a Republican until the 80s and Reagan, and spent the time since as an independent, and it was only in the last couple of months that he registered as a Democrat to vote for Sanders in the New Jersey primary. And so I think really seeing that this is catching on and these ideas are really having a new platform and are getting to more people has really pulled a lot of activists into, if not really supporting the campaign, then at least having a much more complex conversation and maintaining, of course, that movements are crucial and outside pressure is crucial in any administration. And I think Sanders himself really does understand that and understands, you know, this has never been just about him, and that the office of president is one that's extremely constrained, and it's really hard to do anything from that. And so I think in terms of the way movements are relating to this, you know, they don't have any illusions about what's possible from the Oval Office, in part because many of the folks who are leading this up volunteered for Obama's campaign in 2008 and learned a lot of skills and I think got a lot out of that, but also were faced with a sort of extreme disillusionment after he was elected and seeing that it wasn't a progressive agenda that was coming out, but it was almost a regressive one, ramping up wars, conducting more drone strikes than we've seen before, and, you know, doing a couple of progressive things. But I think people are really realizing that there is this sort of interplay between outside forces and elected politicians, however progressive they might be.
Kate Aronoff is a Brooklyn-based freelance writer and communications coordinator with the New Economy Coalition, and Kathleen Geyer is an independent journalist who's written for The Washington Monthly, The Nation, and The Baffler. Today, we are talking about what's in store for the Bernie Sanders movement. Last year, he was written off in the media. Many progressives said there was no way he would gain traction. Here we are a year later. His campaign has raised $210 million from mostly small donors, people giving giving $27. His rallies are bringing together tens of thousands of people. He'll be in Sacramento tonight at 5. He'll be in Stockton tomorrow. So what do you make of this movement and how far it has come, whether or not you support Bernie Sanders? Because even if you don't support him, he definitely has changed the conversation this election season when it comes to things like inequality and money in politics. So what do you think about that? What do you think the movement means for the future of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party and even the non-progressive wing? And what role do you want Bernie Sanders to play from here? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you are a supporter, what role are you going to play inside and outside of politics? 866-798-8255. And if you have any stories to share about people who are new to the process, if you have a parent or a friend who surprised you by changing party affiliation, what was it that did it? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Again, if you need to check your registration in California, and this is really important, because I'm afraid a lot of people are going to go to the polls and be told that they cannot vote for president. To vote for the Dem, you can be no party preference or a Dem. For the Republican or the Green, you have to be a Republican or a Green. And if you're in San Francisco and you want to vote for the San Francisco Democratic County Central Committee race, in that race, you have to be a Democrat. And you can check your registration online. You have to do it by May 23rd. I hope you can do it before then, because I'm afraid the system is going to be completely overtaxed. And then our primary is on June 7th. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255. So, Kathleen, what are your thoughts on the question around how the Bernie Sanders movement has changed the relationship between Occupy, for example, or Black Lives Matter and electoral politics?
Well, I think one of Sanders' great strengths as a candidate is that he is open to activist energies. I think too often in the past, the Democratic Party has not been open in the way that Sanders is. For instance, when Obama became president, there was a lot of hope that he would keep his organizing institution, Obama for America, Organizing for America, keep that going as a way to involve people in the process and as an independent activist base. But he just shut that down. And unfortunately, we've seen like people in the Obama administration, like my mayor, Rahm Emanuel, insult leftists, or you know, people on the left and activists and things like that. And I think, you know, they need that enthusiasm, they need that activism, they need those bodies in the streets to pass a progressive agenda. So I think it's very encouraging that Bernie is supporting this kind of different, this new open attitude towards activists. It's really a stark contrast with the Republicans, because Republicans have encouraged their right wing base, their Tea Party activists, and it led them to a lot of successes, particularly in the 80s and 90s and aughties. So I really wish the Democratic Party would be smarter about working with activists. I think it's important for the left to work both inside and outside of the party system, outside through organizations like Black Lives Matter and Fight for 15, movements like that, and then on the inside in terms of trying to get progressive candidates elected to office, and not just president, but the you know, Congress is important, the states are very important, because there's so much going on in the states, austerity politics and cutbacks and things like that. And we need more progressive Democrats to be elected at the state and local levels.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line, so let's hear from Al in San Francisco. Hi, Al. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to say I think all of you are missing the point. Bernie's overwhelming issue, the one issue that is reflected by the Occupy movement on the left and by the Tea Party movement on the right, is a reaction to a government that has been bought and paid for. And all of Bernie's other issues are issues that we would all be voting for if we actually had a say in what our government does instead of letting the rich do it. And that's why Bernie is successful. That's why Donald Trump is successful on the right. Is people are sick and tired of seeing our government no longer in our control. It's bought and paid for, and that is the overwhelming issue.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, we briefly touched on that. We were going to elaborate on it more, but Kate, even a study out of Princeton has found that when you look at issues like healthcare, college tuition, climate change, the minimum wage, the overwhelming majority of the people are in line with a lot of what Bernie Sanders says, like 70 to 80% on many of these issues. But the politicians do the complete opposite because of what Al just said, because of money in politics. Can you talk about that aspect of Bernie's campaign?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then people have found a real voice in the Sanders campaign that hasn't existed. And I think that's a real strength that he's been able to tap into that. And I do sort of want to caution against, thinking that the government really has worked for the people in the past, and that I think there are a number of kind of deep structural flaws in the way that our electoral system has functioned. And I think that this sort of progressive tide within the Democratic Party is pointing to that, and is pointing to the fact that, we have a Congress which is terrible at passing bills. It's had an approval rating that's floated around the teens, I think, for the last several months, if not years. I haven't looked at the polling all that recently. But I think that's right, and it's a real desire to have a politics that's really about people in a way that it just hasn't been. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually about something more than the Democratic Party. I think we're seeing this, of course, on both sides of the aisle, as I mentioned, in that people really want to have a voice. There was a study about Donald Trump supporters several months back that was really telling, which said one of the most telling indicators of a Trump supporter is that they feel like they don't have a voice in the political system. And that's a problem. That's a real problem that I think political elites have to grapple with.
Right.
And in that we don't have yet figured out real mechanisms for involving people and either having these political parties represent people's interests or having our system as a whole represent people's interests. And so I think this really deep questioning that both parties are going through right now is going to lead to some exciting things. Not to say that there won't be scary moments along the way, but I think that we'll come out the other side of this really having a more representative system.
Well, thank you for calling in, Al. Let's go to Mo in San Francisco. Hi, Mo. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose. Your guest just sort of usurped the comment I was going to make. I think one of the things that Bernie has been emphasizing is participation and a re-emphasis on electoral politics, which I think has come under a lot of criticism and scrutiny in the past, especially from the left. At the same time, exposing the fact that the system is not representative, as your guest has said, of people's voices, the way the primary elections are structured and the way the national election is actually structured. So I think he's brought that pop to bear as well on the election, on this campaign.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Mo. We're going to take a quick break. Today we are talking about what is next for the Bernie Sanders movement. This time last year, most in the media wrote him off. Many progressives said there was no way he would gain traction. And here we are a year later. He's galvanized millions of people across the country to get involved in the political process and take part in grassroots organizing. So many of his events bring out tens of thousands of people. He'll be in Sacramento tonight, Stockton tomorrow. So what do you make of this movement and how far it has become? What do you think what do you think this means for the future of the Democratic Party? If you are or are not a Bernie Sanders supporter, what do you make of this? Where do you want this movement to go? What do you think the Democratic Party should do with Bernie Sanders, frankly? Because I think a lot of them are angry because he's still raising money and criticizing Hillary Clinton, but a lot of them also don't know what to do with him. So what are your thoughts on that? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. To take part in today's conversation, call 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. Toll free. Let us know if you're a first-time caller. We always like to hear from new voices. And if you'd prefer to write rather than call, you can email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or you may leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. Coming up in a half an hour here on KALW, it's Reveal from the Center for Independent Reporting, 11 o'clock, just 29 minutes from now.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with Robert McChesney, author of the new book, People Get Ready, The Fight Against a Jobless Economy and a Citizenless Democracy. Bob takes a look at what's in store with automation, and he believes that it's going to result in massive unemployment and poverty, and we need to start talking about this now and coming up with alternatives. Wednesday, we'll have a conversation with Faviana Rodriguez and artists whose work will be featured in Take This Hammer, Art and Media Activism from the Bay Area. It opens at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts on Friday. We're also going to be speaking with Tamara Drought about her book, Sleeping Giant, How the New Working Class Will Transform America. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can also join us today by dropping us an email or giving us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We have an email from Denise who says, the revolution will be delayed if Bernie Sanders continues to be tied to the Democratic Party. He's not saying anything that has not already been said by Barack Obama before he was elected. If his candidacy establishes an independent party, then all to the good. Kathleen, how would you respond to that? I was going to ask you to respond to the question about money and politics. I mean, Barack Obama didn't use the word oligarchy, and Bernie uses that word in almost every speech. So there are some big differences, major differences between the two.
Oh yes, there absolutely are. Bernie talks about the 99%. Bernie is for single-payer health care, which Obama never was. Bernie really emphasizes getting money out of politics. He's for free universities and colleges, et cetera. I disagree with the idea that an independent party is the way to go within our system. Unfortunately, I think if you want to reform the system, it is just too heavy a lift to go through a third party. I think the way to do it is to try to reform the Democratic Party. We've seen that the reason why this country has swung over so far to the left is that right-wing activists took over the Republican Party, and I think the way to get things back in balance is for activists on the left to work on changing the Democratic Party. I think the way you do that is inside as well as outside. You elect progressive candidates, especially in primaries. It's really important to get out there and vote for them, but you also keep the pressure on from outside activist organizations. If I thought that going with an independent party would be the best way to advance progressive interests and goals, I would totally support that. But I just don't think that is going to work, unfortunately.
And Kate, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, a lot of people are wondering what's in store for Bernie Sanders' relationship with the Democratic Party. I mean, he has said he will do everything to ensure that Donald Trump doesn't win, which would mean, if he doesn't get the nomination, supporting and possibly even working hard for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kathleen's exactly right on this, and that one of the smartest things I think Bernie Sanders did was to actually run as a Democrat and pose this challenge to the party's sort of old guard, the new Democrat consensus, which had sort of congealed over the last several years. And I think that's a fight I'm excited to see Sanders supporters continue to wage, is really for the soul of the Democratic Party and what it can look like. And I do think there are real serious challenges to thinking about a third party run, in part just based on the idiosyncrasies of our electoral system, and that it really it makes it incredibly, almost impossibly difficult for third-party challengers to gain any sort of traction, especially in a federal race. But I think the Tea Party here is really telling and offers a couple of examples in that they really were the sort of battering ram on the Republican Party and dramatically changed the face of it in the course of not very long. I mean, it wasn't even months after after the sort of opening cry of the Tea Party went out, I think on CNBC from the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, that there were candidates backed by the Tea Party winning down ticket races. And so I think the presidential election is one fight, but there are also several down ticket races coming up even this November in different parts of the country, which organizers can really start channeling this momentum that's been generated into and start to really prop up progressive challengers around the map.
And to that point, Julie wrote in and said, can you please mention Brand New Congress? This is a new organization, brandnewcongress.org. It's a grassroots organization dedicated to putting the right candidates in office for the November 2018 congressional election. It's made up of Bernie volunteers and staffers, and you can find more information about that at brandnewcongress.org. And we have another related question from Jenny in Berkeley. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I just want to say your speaker, your guest is really right on the mark. I mean, and I think I'm a Bernie supporter, and I think the next step is to work really hard to push the Democratic platform to the left. And I'm sure Bernie's going to be involved in that, and his smart delegates are going to be involved in doing that at the convention. Extremely important. And then that we should also mobilize Bernie supporters to support progressive candidates down the left, downstream. And I'm actually making plans to go to Wisconsin to work to get Russ Feingold elected, for example. And, you know, this big, this sort of catch-all criticism of Congress, I always think of the really good people on the left of the Democratic Party, like Sheldon Whitehouse, Barbara Lee in Oakland, and Raul Grijalva, I think he's in Arizona. There are some really good people on the left of the Democratic Party. That's the strategy Bernie's using. And the inside-out, outside strategy, it was originated by Gramsci, and it's the smartest way to go. So that's what I wanted to say.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. We have another related email on this question about pushing the Democratic Party to the left. Daria writes in, those on the left who are angry with the government and tired of incremental change would be wise to understand that this can backfire in a big way. Trump supporters are coming from the same anger and have radical right answers to the same questions. Progressives are not likely to get the results they expect when compromise is required. The much harder fight is to stay involved on the local level to make change happen. And actually, at the local level, a number of Bernie Sanders supporters are meeting in Chicago for the People's Summit next month, and they're going to be talking about these very issues. Kathleen, what are your thoughts on Daria's comment?
Well, I completely agree about the importance of activism on the local level, because I see in my own city of Chicago and my own state of Illinois how we have a very corrupt system here, and the Democratic Party here is not very progressive. My mayor, Rahm Emanuel, is not very progressive. And it's leading to terrible things. Our Republican governor has just cut the budget to shreds, and it's really been devastating for people. And I think, you know, the presidential elections tend to get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. They're hugely important. But it shouldn't suck up all the political energy in the room. People should be working very hard at the grassroots level for candidates who will represent their values. So.
Right. Yeah, and actually we've got a very important Senate race here in California, which isn't getting that much attention. Barbara Boxer is going to be leaving Washington, D.C., and so someone needs to fill that very important seat. We'll be doing shows about that race, but it hasn't gotten that much attention in the media. So, you bring up a good point there. Today we are talking about the Bernie Sanders movement, where it goes from here, his campaign, after it was written off by so many progressives, so many in the media, has galvanized millions of people across the country. Many are getting involved in the political process for the very first time. The campaign has received $210 million from mostly small donors. His rallies are bringing tens of thousands of people out. He'll be in Sacramento tonight at 5, Stockton tomorrow. What do you make of this movement? How far it's come? What does this mean for the future of the Democratic Party? What role do you want this movement and Bernie Sanders to play from here? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Kate Aronoff, a Brooklyn-based freelance writer, and Kathleen Geyer, an independent journalist who's written for The Washington Monthly, The Nation, and The Baffler. And once again, I just want to keep repeating this. We have a primary in California on June 7th, and you must check your registration. And I suggest printing it out and taking it with you. If you still go to a polling place, a lot of people have been pushed off of the rolls, and I'm hearing that now, reading about that in California. So print it out and take it with you. You've got to register or re-register by May 23rd. If you want to vote for a Democrat, you can be no party preference or a Democrat. But if you want to vote in the San Francisco Democratic Council Central Committee, it's a long word, DCCC, if you want to vote in that race in San Francisco, you have to be a Democrat. You cannot be no party preference. If you want to vote for a Republican or a Green, you must be Republican or Green. The American Independent Party does not mean you're an independent. That's an ultra-right party. You have to be no party preference. So be sure to check your registration by May 23rd. And the primary is on June 7th. And let's go to our next caller, Stephen in San Francisco. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
Hi. My comment is basically when Sanders first was starting to talked about that Sanders was going to run last year, I was skeptical. And I remain skeptical for this reason. You cannot make the kind of change that we need to make by running for president. Sanders admits that himself. He continually says, you know, that we need to do this together. But you need an organization in order to do that, and I don't see any sign of an organization. There should have been one first, and then that organization decides if it wants to run somebody for president. But it's being done basically cart before the horse, and you can't take down an oligarchy that way.
All right. Kathleen, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he has a point. It's hard. Usually change at the top is like the last place you'll see it. But I think the caller is underestimating how much activism there is going on for the kind of economic issues that Bernie Sanders supports. There's been, besides Occupy, there's Fight for 15, the movement for the $15 minimum wage. There's Fed Up, activism designed at changing the Federal Reserve. There are lots of state and local initiatives for paid family leave and paid sick leave. I think there is a lot of this activism that's kind of bubbling over from the bottom. So I think that is there. But I agree. It's absolutely essential to start electing people at the local level, at Congress and congressional level, things like that. But Bernie has begun to put that in place. He's on his I get his fundraising emails, and he's fundraising for progressive congressional candidates. As Kate mentioned, there's an organization, there's an organization that is starting up from Bernie volunteers to elect more progressives. So I think that those things are getting started. I think it's important to encourage that kind of thing. And I Bernie does that, but I do not see other Democrats doing that very much, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Democratic Party and what do you think. I mean, I think, and behind the scenes, I've read that they're really angry about what's happening right now. They don't like that Bernie is still raising money and criticizing Hillary Clinton at a time when they believe she needs to be spending money and really focusing on Donald Trump. In fact, early on, the Obama White House said that it was shocked at what was happening with, you know, Bernie going after Hillary and winning in a lot of races. So what are your thoughts about how that's going to play out?
Well, you know, it's a political campaign, so obviously, you know, they want to get Bernie out of the way, and Hillary wants to focus on the general. I get that. That's in their interest. But I think they do have to reckon with the fact that those of us who support Bernie are a very significant part of the party. You know, we want our interests to be represented, and those interests are best represented if Bernie continues in the campaign and continues pushing these things. So I think they'll just have to deal with that. I don't think they're going to be hurt by Bernie continuing the campaign. I think that's exaggerated concerns about that. So, you know, the Democratic Party has been much more divided in the past than it is now. So,
What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think there's really anything to be lost from Bernie staying in. I think there's actually much more to be gained. Especially when there is such an outsider candidate on the right. And I think the more Hillary is really pushed to take up, I think, some of Sanders' talking points, as much as I personally hope that he goes all the way and don't want to count him out of the race at all. But I think this claim that, you know, Sanders continuing to stay in is somehow weakening the Democratic Party at all, it's just absurd. It's totally absurd, especially considering how much folks in my generation, millennials, have been showing up for Sanders this whole election season. And we're really seeing the future of the Democratic Party looks more like us, frankly, than it does like Clinton. And that's really, I think, what's been so illustrative about this election has been really seeing, you know, where is this party going? What is the future of our political institutions? And it's a lot more progressive than it has been in the past, and that's really promising.
And as we said earlier, so many of the people who are voting for Bernie Sanders or who are involved in this are not necessarily activists, but the campaign has really created a space for activists to engage with people around progressive politics, like my cousin, for example, a political 47-year-old who's only voted once in her life. So, Kate, how significant do you think this will be in the long run?
Really significant, and I think that's a street that goes two ways. On the one hand, the Sanders campaign has taken a lot of direction for movements, but I think what hasn't been talked about as much is how much movements themselves are learning from Sanders' campaign. Like I mentioned before, I think folks who have been around progressive politics for a while are sort of catching on to this idea that it's really great when your ideas are being talked about on CNN and on MSNBC, as you know, biased and flawed as some of that coverage can be. But there's a kind of magic to electoral campaigns which has been a little harder to come by in grassroots campaigns, which is that there's really a natural way to plug people in, and that you can show up to a campaign office and say, I want to help out, and somebody will hand you a clipboard with a list of numbers and tell you to phone bank, and you can do it. Or you can go door knock and engage with voters in that way. And so those sort of just really basic engagement mechanisms have been a little tougher, honestly, for progressive movements to figure out.
Some do that more than others, but you know, for example, Occupy was tremendously exciting, but I showed up to Occupy Philly around where I was in school at the time, and didn't really know what to do. No one really plugged me in. I just sort of wandered around and talked to people.
Hmm.
And I think that's something that movement leaders are coming to recognize, is that, you know, if we're going to grow, it's about more than just engaging with people who are already involved in politics, and engaging people who haven't been and who are just really concerned about the future of this country.
Kathleen, what would you add to that?
I would just say that Bernie is bringing people into the process who haven't been involved before. And I think that's great for the Democratic Party. And I think the Democratic Party should welcome that energy and that enthusiasm. You know, so, you know, Bernie should stay in as long as he wants to.
What about the criticism that Bernie has faced for not offering specifics on foreign policy, for example? There's hardly been any talk about his comment to Chuck Todd on Meet the Press saying that he would continue the drone program. You rarely hear about that among his supporters. Kathleen, you have written some critical articles about Bernie.
My ideal presidential candidate would have a much more thought-out foreign policy. But on the other hand, you know, we know what his basic instincts are. We know what his votes have been against the Iraq War and so on. And I think we can trust those instincts. Hillary Clinton has a huge advantage because basically she has had the money and the status in the party to attract, like, the best policy shop and a lot of, you know, basically every foreign policy expert there is in the Democratic Party, almost. So obvious, and she was Secretary of State, so she's more well versed on those things. But I think what matters in the end is judgment. I trust Bernie Sanders' judgment on those issues more than I trust Hillary Clinton's.
Well, let's take a few callers before we have to say goodbye. Let's hear from Brian in Oakland. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. Just two quick items that's kind of building on what you've all been talking about. First off, if there's going to be, I really feel strongly, if there's going to be any third party in the United States, which obviously is an issue for everything you've been talking about, it's going to come from the right. It's absolutely not going to come from the left. I just see that GOP is no longer a grand old party, and the pieces are going to come from there. But the second thing is, I'm an old green who slowly, begrudgingly brought myself back into the fold, and I'm personally happy to see, and I think it's a great example of representative politics actually working, to see Bernie inside the Democratic Party giving it to them. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Brian. What are your thoughts as an old green? I mean, the Greens aren't really getting much attention at all.
Yeah, I think the one reason I ultimately left is I actually think it has a lot to do with identity politics and not necessarily about progressive change, and so ultimately maybe it's because I got older. I just needed to see. I wanted to see more leverage.
Well, thank you so much for calling. And I think you're right on the mark. I mean, it's highly, highly unlikely that Bernie would run as an independent. But I did read over the weekend that Mitt Romney met privately with Bill Kristol to talk about a third party candidate that would offer an alternative to Donald Trump. So we'll definitely keep our eyes on that one. Thanks for calling in, Brian. Let's go next to John in San Francisco. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. My question is concerning Senator Sanders' domestic program, is where is the money going to come from? He would have to curtail defense expenditures, which means he'd have to alter the worldwide view we have of maintaining 700 bases overseas, etc. And it's my view he would come up against the NSA and the CIA and what Dwight Eisenhower referred to as the military-industrial complex. And I don't think he could do that, which means that if he's going to carry forward with his program, he would have to engage in deficit spending, and we already have deficits that are too large now. So that's my question I have for the two members of the audience this afternoon.
All right. Well, thank you, John. We briefly talked about foreign policy. Kathleen, do you want to jump in here? Bernie Sanders has called for an audit of the Defense Department, but he doesn't really talk about this much on the campaign trail.
Well, I think that's one problem with the Democratic left right now is that there is a lot of activism and pressure on economic issues, on pushing the Democratic Party to the left on those issues, not as much on foreign policy. So I do worry about that. But I really want to take exception to what the caller said about deficits being too large. They're not. We should be having even more deficit spending. Basically, we need more spending on infrastructure, on all kinds of social programs, and we're in a great position to do that now because the interest rates are so low. So we can do that kind of investment in our country a lot more cheaply than we've been able to in a long time. I mean, that's a falsehood about the deficit. That's something that's hyped by a lot of right-wing economists and a lot of pro-business groups that just want tax cuts. It's not really a serious problem in the United States today.
Yeah, there's a great documentary about that called We're Not Broke, and I'm pretty sure you can watch it online by now. We've got just about a minute left. Kate, what are your thoughts, final thoughts? How hopeful are you about the future of this, I guess you can call it, independent progressive politics in the United States now and for years to come?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more hopeful than I ever have been. I think we're seeing an incredible amount of momentum both going into the electoral fights coming up and going beyond it. I mean, the conventions will be really interesting, but ultimately I think the real power lies in places like the People's Summit happening this June, in these real people-based politics that are starting to emerge. And I think it really bodes well for the future of the Democratic Party as a whole. And my hope is that there's a Democratic Party that I really feel excited to support in the next several years, and something that hasn't existed, at least in my lifetime.
Well, thank you for that. And I just want to remind listeners, in California, the primary is on June 7th. You have to register or re-register by May 23rd. It's really easy to check your registration online. I suggest you print it out and bring it to the polls if you still vote at a polling place. If you want to vote for a Democrat, you either have to be a Democrat or a no-party preference voter. If you want to vote in San Francisco for the San Francisco Democratic Council Central Committee race, you have to be a Dem. If you are voting for a Republican or a Green Party member at the presidential level, you've got to be a Republican or a Green. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. Kate Aronoff is a Brooklyn-based freelance writer. Kathleen Geyer is an independent journalist. Kathleen and Kate, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with Robert McChesney, co-author of the new book, People Get Ready, The Fight Against a Jobless Economy and a Citizenless Democracy. He argues that the technological revolution will result in automation, declining wages, and expanding poverty. He believes that humanity is on the verge of its darkest hour or its greatest moment. What are the solutions, and who are the winners and losers of the digital revolution? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Laura Flynn produces the show, Malihei Razazan is senior producer, Matt Martin is executive producer, and Rosalie Atkinson is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Our theme music is performed and composed by Live Human. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.